This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Julian, here's what I got to admit to you. I played Pac-Man like four times in a bar, you know, and that's it. I don't know anything about games.
You mean you don't have a PS5 in your office?
Is that a nuclear reactor of some kind? Just the other day, I caught up with my colleague, Julian Lucas. Julian writes for us about culture in many forms, about books, visual art, technology. But I didn't realize until now that he's also pretty passionate about gaming. Over the holidays, like all too many of us, Julian was isolated with COVID. Thankfully, not too serious a case. But he had a lot of extra time on his hands.
One thing that I've always loved about games since I was very young, you know, some people hear the word gamer and they think like first-person shooters or something like World of Warcraft. I was always a lover of adventure games and strategy games, basically anything with a map. And I sort of rediscovered that delight in isolation on Christmas and other days during the holidays, playing a game called No Man's Sky. It's a game that originally came out in 2016, a fairly high-profile space exploration game. And its kind of distinctive feature is that its universe is theoretically infinite. One of the things that I love about the game is that you can just point yourself in a particular direction, land on a planet, and immediately begin discovering things. It's almost like you're Adam in the book of Genesis, because not only can you discover plants and animals, but you can give them names, upload them, and then other players can find them, which to me is exciting.
So you obviously didn't play just that one game the entire length of the break and your unfortunate encounter with COVID. What else did you play?
So more and more games are also allowing developers to do something that's closer to landscape art, something that's about where they come from or a particular landscape and trying to convey its atmosphere. And that's certainly the case with this indie game, Norco. It's a point-and-click adventure, a kind of old genre of game, and it's set in the town of Norco, Louisiana. And before I talk about the game, I have to talk a little bit about the place. It's a town a few miles upriver from New Orleans, and it's essentially a small suburb with a massive Shell oil refinery surrounding it. And I went there in 2019 when I was reporting on Dred Scott's slave rebellion reenactment, and I had the chance to meet the developer of this game. He goes by the pseudonym Utes, and he grew up in Norco. His family works in the petrochemical industry, and he wanted to create a game essentially that captured the sense of loving a landscape that in a real sense was destroying itself. Norco is about a young woman who is living in a dystopian near future United States, and she's coming home to Norco because her mother has died. And when she returns to the town, she discovers that her mother was researching something mysterious having to do with a local oil company, which is called Shield in the game, and is quite clearly based on Shell.
What are we seeing here?
So this is the sort of landscape of Norco. We saw the skyline of the refinery. We saw the highway that goes over the swamps and Lake Pontchartrain. And now we're seeing scenes from this childhood home of the main character, who's kind of it's kind of a characteristic home for the area. And it's really done in this pixel art style, which has become very popular, both because there's a lot of nostalgia for the video games of the 80s and 90s, and also because it's a form which makes it very easy for indie developers to create something on their own without the help of a large studio. And, you know, this Norco is an example of a game that you might not see at a major studio because it is so particular, and it is so much the result of one designer's vision.
So as in the movie business, we've gone from the dominance or the complete hegemony of the big studios to the rise of the indie film as it was, I don't know, a generation ago.
Absolutely. That's the moment that's happening in games. And actually, it's funny that you mentioned film because, you know, the film industry has taken notice of this. And actually, Norco won the Tribeca Film Festival's inaugural prize for a game last year. So the film festival world is taking notice of games like this.
Julian, those of us who have not been paying sufficient attention to games are stuck in the past and think of them as, you know, competitive games, shooting games, blowing stuff up, you versus me, et cetera, et cetera. It seems to me that the games that you are exploring or most enraptured with have nothing to do with these instincts.
No, I think, you know, people make various arguments for what makes games special as a medium, what they can do that other forms cannot. And one of them for me is just the ability to explore a landscape in a way that is actually self-directed. And, you know, a line that often comes to mind when I'm playing No Man's Sky in particular from one of my favorite poets, Derek Walcott, in one of his poems he wrote, "For no one had yet written of this landscape that it was possible." And he's writing, of course, about St. Lucia, his home island. But, you know, it captures for me, if I can take it out of context, the feeling of newness and the feeling of really forming a relationship with a world that is, in a very real sense, your own, that games can provide.
Fascinating. Julian Lucas, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
You can find everything that Julian Lucas has written for us at newyorker.com. He talked about No Man's Sky from 2016 and Norco. A demo version is coming out this month from the group called Geography of Robots.